text I want to speak to you upon is Genesis chapter 43 and verse 5. Part of that verse particularly, but we'll read all of it now. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And there's the main part. Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Now we have to understand what this is all about, and therefore we need to know something of the historical setting. Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, had been sold as a slave by the vast majority of his 11 other brothers. While in Egypt, after being slandered and imprisoned and forgotten about, suddenly he became the prime minister, the next to Pharaoh on the throne. He became the prime minister of that country. What a story that is in itself. We would not have time to deal with that just now, but that's what happened. And then after he was there for quite a number of years as the prime minister, if we can call him that, a famine had been raging in Egypt and in the countries round about the time of the setting of our reading in Genesis 43. And Joseph had been appointed by Pharaoh to head up the allocation of the food supplies in looking after the needs of the country and indeed other nations of the world as well. And among those who came down to Egypt to buy corn whenever the famine was affecting their country were the brothers of Joseph, the sons of Jacob. Those who had treated him so despicably, now, even though they do not know it, are going to become so dependent upon him. They did not recognize him at this time. How could they possibly have known him? Remember, they sold him into slavery when he was about 17 years of age. And he was 30 years of age before he came out of prison. So he could have been in prison a long number of years. And now the famine has been, as we learn later in the book of Genesis, 2 years in operation. And that was after 7 years of prosperous harvests year on year. So about 22 years have passed from Joseph had seen his brothers. Now they came to him to buy corn as had been arranged, and he accused them. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And whenever he realized who they were, he thought that he would let them stew in their own juice for a while. He accused them of being spies. He says, you've come to spy out our land. And then he inquired of them, what kind of makeup is your family? He says, you're spies. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold you all in custody. I'm going to detain you. And then I'll send one of you back. And you bring your young brother, this young brother at home that you've told me about, you bring him down with you. He says, you'll not see my face unless you do. And he kept the boys for 3 days. And then he changed his plan somewhat. He kept Simeon in custody, and he let the other boys go back, and he emphasized it again, and you get the detail of that back in another one of the chapters there, when he said that you've got to bring your brother down with you, or else you're not going to see me again. So the boys left. Simeon was in custody. The boys left to go back home, and on the way, they stopped in one of the inns, and one of them opened his sack. He wanted to feed his donkey some grain, some corn. And he got a terrible fright. He saw his money there. He says, what's happening here? He says, I paid that money for the food, and now it's in the sack. And they were all afraid. He said, what's happening here? What's God doing to us? And then they made their way back home to their dad. Jacob was waiting, of course, for the corn. But what a shock he got whenever he learned that Simeon wasn't with the brothers. And so we have come to chapter 33, and they're telling their sad story. Why Simeon's not with them, and that they're not going to get any more corn unless they bring Benjamin with them. Well, the supplies had come to an end. Look at chapter 43, verse 1. The famine was sore in the land. And remember, there's still 5 years to go. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, boys, you need to go down to Egypt again. You need to get more corn. We'll never survive here. And then we read that Judah said, we cannot go back to Egypt. We'll not have any access to this man unless Benjamin is with us. And he emphasized that. You have it in verse 3, the end of verse 3. You shall not see my face again except your brother be with you. Again at the end of verse 5. You shall not see my face except your brother be with you. So Jacob relented. He gave in. And he told the boys to get up some appropriate gifts and bring them down and take Benjamin. And he says, if I'm going to be bereaved of this boy, well, I'm going to be bereaved. So it was a terrible situation to be in. And what we're looking at here is, as I bring this text to you again, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. What we're seeing is a glorious picture of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation with regard to us, as Joseph was, and particularly as Benjamin was to his brothers and his father and the family back in Israel. So we want to look at that. We're going to look at Joseph. We're going to look at these brothers, and then we're going to look at Benjamin. And I want you to notice, first of all, the declaration of Joseph. Judah tells us here in both these verses, but I'll bring you back to chapter 42, verse 19, and you can hear this man for himself. Hear what Joseph said. Notice verse 19 of chapter 42. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. So there was no possibility of them getting anywhere unless they had Benjamin. So what Joseph is saying here, what Judah is saying, that Joseph said is, and Judah has emphasized it to his dad in verses 3 and 5 of chapter 43 of Genesis. He says, he said, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. This is Joseph's declaration. Now that phrase, not see my face, is tantamount to saying, I'll have nothing to do with you unless you bring Benjamin here. Now, time and time again in God's Word, we find the importance of this phrase. Let me read from Deuteronomy chapter 31 what God himself said, and in verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day, for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. The previous verse 17, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured by many evils. In Psalm 13, the psalmist says in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? The Lord says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, your sins have hid his face from you. In other words, if we try to come to God as we are, God will have nothing to do with us. He hides his face from us. In Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 22, he says, my face will I turn also from them. In chapter 39 of Ezekiel, verse 23, he says, because they transgressed against me, therefore hid I my face from them. Now, there are illustrations of this. Do you remember whenever Cain slew his brother Abel? God began to deal with him, and God banished him. And this is what Cain had to say about this in verse 13 and 14 of Genesis 4. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. That's what scared him. Never again having anything to do with God, and God having nothing to do with him. You remember another instance. Whenever Absalom killed one of his half-brothers because of what he did to Absalom's sister. Whenever David heard of it, he had heard it exaggerated. He thought there were more of his children put to death. But Absalom was allowed to come home, but he couldn't see the king's face. We are told that he dwelt in Jerusalem for 2 years and saw not the king's face. David would have nothing to do with him at that time. But that all changed. But that's the point for there. If you remember on another occasion, whenever the king prepared a banquet for his son, sent out the invitations, and all the guests that would come would have had a wedding garment on. But this particular man somehow got in. He had no wedding garment on. And the king came to inspect the guests and he said, "Friend, wherefore have I come? How come that you've got in here without a wedding garment?" And the Bible says the man was speechless. And then the man said, "Take him, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness." The king would have nothing to do with him. You remember the bridegroom and the 10 virgins. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom to go into the feast, but they all fell asleep. 5 of them fortunately had oil in the lamps, but the other 5 foolishly had no oil in the lamps. They went to buy. Whenever they came back, they knocked at the door. They couldn't get in. And the Lord said, "I never knew you." In other words, you're not seeing my face. You have nothing to do with me. And my dear friend, this will be part of the glory that Christians will enter into one day. The Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We learn also in John, 1 John 3 verse 2, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And in Revelation 22 verse 4, about the people of God, it says, "They shall see his face." Oh, I tell you, what a prospect for the Christian. And whenever people wanted the blessing of God upon them, they cried, "Lord, show your face." The Aaronic blessing that very often we cite here when there are dedication of babies has this to say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee." And in the Psalms, we learn that in Psalm 80 particularly, on 3 specific occasions in that Psalm, part of the prayer was, "Cause thy face to shine." And in Psalm 67, the very first verse, we read these words, "God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us." So whenever Joseph said to the petitioners, his brethren, that "you're not going to see my face unless Benjamin be with you," he was saying, "I will have nothing to do with you unless Benjamin would accompany them." You see the situation that he's in? Now, whenever they realized the gravity of their circumstances in relation to Joseph, the brothers must have been in a great state of anxiety. "We've got to go back there if we're going to survive. We're going to get corn. We've got to face them about this money in all our sacks." They discovered it was in all their sacks. They began to be convicted. They began to be concerned. It looked like stolen money. "We'll never get Simeon back from being a hostage unless we go back." They were in a quandary. They were in a dilemma. They were in a plight. Not see the face of the Lord, as he's called. Not the Lord as in Lord God Almighty, but just the Lord of the land, as Joseph was called here. And I wonder, are there people like this in the house of God today who, over the weeks and months, and even years perhaps, that come here regularly, you realize you're in dire straits, great need, you're not saved. You have no access to all what God has for you, particularly the saving of your soul, because of your plight. Your conscience is disturbed. Your conscience is aroused. And even now you're feeling the effects of your sin and wrongdoing in body and in mind and in conscience. You can understand something of how these boys felt. in the relationship with Joseph at this time. The declaration of Joseph, you're not going to see my face unless you bring Benjamin with you. But notice secondly, not only the declaration of Joseph, but the deprivation of the petitioners, his brothers. These boys, by not seeing Jacob's face, or Joseph's face, by him not having anything to do with them, unless Benjamin was there, would mean that they were going to be denied and deprived of much. First of all, they would have no access to the vast supplies that were in Egypt, that through Joseph's wisdom and God's leading him were stored and led up in that country. They would have no access. The famine was widespread. There was great need. But there was corn in Egypt. They're not going to be able to get at it. Just turn back, if you will, to chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. And notice verse 53. And very quickly, we'll just read the remainder of the verses. This will give you the detail. I've had the advantage of knowing this with studying it out, but I want you to get the setting now. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Now in Canaan, where Jacob and his family resided, the famine was biting. He said, we're going to die if you don't go down and get corn and get bread for us, he said to his children. And now, if they cannot see Joseph's face, they're not going to have access to these resources. And my dear friend, let me say, this is the problem that we're in. If God continues to have nothing to do with sinners, we're not going to have any access to that great supply of forgiveness of our sin, that great resource and provision of peace with God, that great benefit and blessing of having joy unspeakable and full of glory, that tremendous blessing of having God's eternal salvation from hell. That's what happens. This is the deprivation of these boys. No access to the supply. And if God continues to say, you'll not see my face, then we're not going to have access to this salvation either. But notice, not only was there no access for supply to the supplies, there was no comfort regarding Simeon, these brothers may say. What will happen to Simeon if we don't go down? He's on his own in that country. At least the 11 of us were down. We had each other. What's going to happen to him? And they had no comfort whatsoever. He may be treated well, he may not, as far as they were concerned. Joseph would have known who Simeon was. But these boys didn't know that Joseph knew that. So they had no comfort with regard to Simeon. And Jacob was reluctant to let Benjamin go down, knowing that Simeon was hostage. And he might never see any of his sons again. So no access to the supplies. No assurance. No comfort about Simeon. And no certainty of survival. The famine, as we saw in chapter 43, verse 1, was sore in the land. And still 5 years to go. How's Jacob and his family, and others for that matter, going to fare? And my dear friend, if we're not received by God favorably, we're in a perilous situation. To die unforgiven, to have no salvation, and even before we die, to have no peace, no joy, and no prospect of heaven upon death. What a terrible plight we're in. There's no way that we can survive the judgment and wrath of God that will fall upon us. No help, no hope for our loved ones either. And God maintains this stance. Cannot see my face. He has every right to. And remember, it was God who took the initiative to save sinners. It's not that suddenly we woke up to our lost condition and said, oh my, perhaps God will do something to help us. No, long before sinners had sinned, before sinners were born, before sin entered into the world, God had his Benjamin ready to part with. And that brings me to the last thing I want you to notice. We turn from the declaration of Joseph and the deprivation of his brothers to the distinctiveness of Benjamin. Did you notice again in the words of our text in chapter 43 and verse 3, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Everything here hinges on Benjamin. Whether they're going to get Simeon again, whether they're going to get corn down in Egypt again, it all depends on Benjamin. Nobody else. Depends on Benjamin. And just as Joseph will have no dealings with the petitioners, so God will have no dealings with us apart from our heavenly Benjamin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, God turns away his face from us. We can't see God's face unless we bring the Lord Jesus Christ with us. It's so important that we keep him before us. And just as sure as the brothers brought Benjamin and they were accepted on his account, so are we accepted by God on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. What a tremendous truth this is. Now, I want to read two quotes for you. And with this, we're almost at an end. But one of them comes from a preacher that was preaching in the mid-1600s. Tells you a long, long time ago. Over 350 years ago. And another who was preaching in the mid-1800s. Couple of hundred years between those two men, and yet their message is the same. Let me read what the first one says when he was preaching in the 1600s. Ah, Christians, Christ is near unto the Father. The Father hath determined to give out all his love and favors to the Son. If you bring Christ in the arms of your faith, you gain the Father's heart, and in gaining his heart, you gain all. The Father's mercies melt. His heart turns, his compassions are kindled upon the sight of his Son's merits and mediation. As Joseph said to his brethren, ye shall not see my face unless you bring your brother Benjamin. So says God, you shall not see my face unless you bring the Lord Jesus with you. Now, gracious souls, in all your prayers, in all their prayers, they present Jesus Christ before the Father, and upon his account, they desire those things that make for their external, internal, and eternal good. Wasn't that well said? The only way that we can be accepted with God, the only way we can be reconciled with God, the only way that we can look on the face of God is by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the preacher in the mid-1850s, maybe 1860s or thereabouts, was preaching on a text, my God will hear me. This is what he said in part of it. And when I come before God in prayer, the question is not, who will I be? For I may be very poor and insignificant. It is the name in which I am privileged to apply. That name God will not dishonor. Oh, the power of that name of Jesus, a name dearest of all names to the heart of God. It is very precious to us, but nothing like so precious to us as it is to him. When God the Father remembers what his Son did and suffered, and the obedience unto death which he rendered, he puts no limit on the authority vested in his hands. He is omnipotent in the courts above. Oh, when you can go in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God goes with you. All heaven lies open to you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then doth the Lord open all his treasures and say to his servants, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So then, dear friends, the confidence is well warranted. My God will hear me. And I put it to you again, as we looked at this some weeks back, the only way that we can be accepted for salvation, the only way that we can be accepted when we come to pray, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to say we ask in Jesus' name, though that's important, and we should do that. But we need to think what we mean when we're asking in Jesus' name. We are asking in the person of Christ. We are asking, pleading the merits of Christ, pleading the sufferings of Christ. And when God looks upon that Benjamin, his only begotten Son, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is kindly disposed toward us. Whenever Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he wrote that we have acceptance because we are accepted in the Beloved. So then, through Christ, there's acceptance. We'll see the face of the Lord. There's abundance. All that we live, need to live the Christian life, we'll have that. And there's assurance that we will be kept, survive, and provided for. And just as Joseph wanted to see the face of Benjamin, then he would be reconciled to his brothers. And that's the story if you read it on in Genesis. He wept when he saw Benjamin. So the Lord God Almighty, when he sees us bringing the Lord Jesus Christ in the arms of our faith, and the Lord Jesus leading us into his presence, he's delighted with us because of his Son and his mighty redemptive work on the cross at Calvary. So, sinner, you want to get to heaven. You want to have your sins forgiven. You want to be at peace with God. You've got to come to the cross. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to save you. And Christian, if you want success in prayer, you come through the mediation and the merit of the Lord Jesus, pleading his name, pleading his merits, his blood, and the majesty of his person, and how God loves him so much. Will you come? Let's bow together in prayer.